Well, we were meant to be in our series in Colossians this morning, continuing in chapter 4. But because of the extraordinary nature of recent events, I thought it best if we encouraged one another to keep our hearts and minds on Jesus Christ in the light of all that is happening in our nation, in our world, due to the coronavirus pandemic. So let me read 3 verses to you from the end of Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. In your Bibles at home, let me encourage you to turn to that, Matthew chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, reading those words, I guess what might have easily caught your attention: healing every disease and sickness, all who are ill with various diseases. That's what we've all been thinking about over the last days and weeks, the spread of this virus. Let me remind us what the World Health Organization has reported about this pandemic. Coronaviruses are a large family of viruses which may cause illness in animals and in humans. In humans, several coronaviruses are known to cause respiratory infections, ranging from the common cold to more severe diseases. COVID-19 is the infectious disease caused by the most recently discovered coronavirus. This new virus and disease were unknown before the outbreak began in Wuhan, China, in December 2019. It has spread right across the world, with some countries like Iran and Italy, along with China, particularly affected by it. Currently, there is no cure, and for the elderly, this can be an especially dangerous disease. We should remember to pray, as we've just done, for national governments and world leaders as they respond to the physical, social, and economic impact that this is having on our global community. However, as followers of Jesus, we know that we're not just physical, mental, and emotional beings, we're spiritual beings. We know that we're made in the image of God. We know that God has revealed himself to us in the Bible, ultimately through the sending of his Son into this world 2,000 years ago. So we say unashamedly that what we most need to hear this morning, what our society and world most needs to hear, are the words of Jesus Christ. To believe on him, to live in the light of Jesus this day and every day, when days are extraordinary and when they're ordinary, when there is panic and when there is peace. Now, these words that I've just read from Matthew chapter 4 appear at the start of Matthew's account of the life of Jesus. Matthew is describing the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Just a few verses earlier, do you see, in verse 17 across the page, we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" That's Jesus' key message, his foundational message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he calls his first disciples, his first followers, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. So that's the context. Jesus' ministry is beginning. God's kingdom he is declaring. in all times, including times of uncertainty and fear, with this COVID-19 disease sweeping across the world, we must remain focused on Jesus and his kingdom. That's the message of this passage. That's the message of the Bible. Focus on Jesus. Remember what we learned from the New Testament book of Colossians recently in chapter 1. For in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Jesus is the king, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one. And so our confidence is to be in Jesus Christ. We pray for our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, government and parliament, for wise decisions and responses to ongoing developments regarding COVID-19. We pray for our brilliant frontline workers, for our brilliant NHS and healthcare workers as they care for the sick and dying. We are thankful to God for them, but our ultimate confidence and hope is not in them. Our confidence and hope is in Jesus Christ, the supreme ruler. We do not ultimately trust in governments or vaccines or self-isolation. Our trust is in Jesus Christ. For as the Apostle Paul also says in Colossians, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought into fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. For every one look at a web page, news feed, TV channel, take 10 looks at Jesus Christ, seated in the heavenly realms. Praise him that he rules. Focus on him and feed on him more than your news feed. Take your questions and fears. Take your thoughts and feelings to Jesus on the throne. Focus on Jesus. And focus on his kingdom. In our reading from Matthew chapter 4 in verse 23, we saw what was central to Jesus' ministry. It wasn't the healings. It was his proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. We've heard people in authority proclaim a lot of things in recent days. Boris Johnson has made daily public briefings. Kids, you've heard your teachers proclaim what's going to happen in school, what's going to happen to your lessons, what your teachers want you to do. Jesus declares his kingdom. What does he say? Well, in the next part of Matthew's account, in chapters 5-7, what is famously called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Read it later today with a friend online, with a family member. It's a kingdom of comfort, purity, peace, great inheritance, righteousness, a vision of God where he is glorified by his people as they dwell with him forever. It's a place of richest blessing, life in all its fullness. Later, the Bible tells us that when God's kingdom finally arrives in all its fullness at the end of history, there will be no sickness, suffering, or pain in this kingdom. There will be no sin there. And that's why the kingdom that Jesus declares is such good news. Right now, we know that there is bad news. Right now, we see and hear bad news all around us. This virus is not a Chinese virus. It's our virus. It's in Afghanistan and Belgium, Cambodia, Denmark, France. All of us are feeling the effects of this pandemic. This virus has affected every part of our lives, social, economic, mental, emotional. Now, of course, we've always lived in a broken world. It's just that this COVID-19 pandemic has brought that into sharp reality, confronted us with this reality. And the reason that we live in a broken world, fallen world, is not that we don't know how to handle diseases like this or economic instability. It's that we don't know the God who made us. In our sin, we have turned away from him, gone our own way. These past few weeks have reminded us how fragile our lives actually are, how little we actually control our circumstances, which in reminding us, has reminded us that to the depths of our being, we know that our lives weren't made for this. We know in the depths of our heart, we were made to flourish, to fill the earth and rule it in the wisdom and power of the Lord God Almighty. So when Jesus first came to this earth 2,000 years ago as God made flesh, he declared the kingdom of God that he was bringing in, that we could enter into by trusting in Jesus. Jesus came to declare that he was the way to God, the way into this kingdom, that his death would provide forgiveness for our wrongs, that his resurrection opened up the way to eternal life. So let me ask, are you trusting in Jesus today? Jesus declared the kingdom of God, and Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God. What does our reading from Matthew chapter 4 verse 24 say? Have a look down at that with me. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Jesus was saying in his healing, this is what my kingdom, my reign will look like in all its fullness in the age to come. Disease, pain, the work of the devil, mental anguish, gone. Life, joy, peace, blessing in God, here, in me, through me. So given our circumstances, what I am going to say next will sound strange. Don't concentrate on the healing of the diseases and the sickness that we read of here. Just as we said at the beginning, the temptation is to make that all that we think about. That is what is constantly on our minds. Have I got this disease? Will I get it? Will it be eradicated? Will we be safe again? Those are understandable questions and fears, but they are not ultimate. If we never get COVID-19, if we do and recover, we will get ill again, and all of us will die. The people that Jesus healed would have gotten ill again. All died. Yes, we believe in a God who heals. Yes, we pray for healing, just as we see Jesus demonstrate here, but of far greater importance and urgency, because it is of eternal importance and urgency, is whether we hear the call of Jesus and enter into his eternal kingdom. If you concentrate on the benefits of God's kingdom, healing, blessing, fullness, but ignore God's king, you will never enter in. If you concentrate on the king of God's kingdom and receive Jesus Christ, his love, the wonder of his sin-bearing death, you enter into God's kingdom and know every blessing in Christ fully and finally in the life to come. Now, Kensington Baptist Church, as you listen, we, the elders and deacons and those few of us gathered here, want you to know of our love for you, our prayers for you at this time. As Tom said earlier, we miss being together. We want you to know that we have you in our hearts. We are praying that our elder care lists, now with a deacon involved in each group, will be of immense help in providing pastoral support during this time of social distancing and isolation. We ask you to take seriously all that the government is requiring us to do. But in the light of these words of Jesus, which call us to focus on him and focus on his kingdom, what kind of things should we be encouraging and praying for one another over the coming weeks and months? I'm going to suggest quickly two things. Witness to Jesus, witness to his kingdom. Witness to Jesus. Do you remember last Sunday where we finished in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, including in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or to put it another way, recognize Jesus' power. Here's what I mean. Right now, the hot topic is the spread of this virus, the invisible enemy that President Trump calls it. When we speak about this disease, of course, we recognize its power and threat to society, but we'll want to speak in a way that confesses Jesus as Lord over all things, our confidence in him. Whatever the spread of the virus over the coming weeks, whatever the trouble, hardship, and illness that might come, Jesus is more powerful because Jesus is all powerful. Jesus warned us while he was here on earth what was coming in the future between his first and second coming. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes. And in various places, famines and pestilences. Jesus is not the author of this virus, but he does reign over it. And we are called to trust in his mighty rule and endure in times like this. We witness to Jesus by recognizing his power and also as we make Jesus prominent. Our witness to Jesus will mean reminding one another of who Jesus is, constantly encouraging one another and praying with one another to look to Jesus and trust in him. With the children, grandchildren, young people in our church, let's be taking them frequently to Jesus. With the young adults, middle-aged, elderly, let's be taking each other constantly to Jesus. As you gather together through FaceTime, WhatsApp, Zoom, Microsoft Team Chat, Google Hangout, across the web, let's look to Jesus as we read his word and pray together and sing together. Perhaps we've struggled to find time to do that in our homes in the past months and years. Surely now is a moment when we could intentionally use the time we have in our households to make Jesus prominent. On this Mothering Sunday, mums, grandmothers, parents, there can be no greater responsibility than pointing our kids to Christ. The kids and youth ministries are doing a great job of connecting with us online and providing resources for our Sunday kids and ministry groups. Tom shared about that. We will want to provide other resources for our church family over the coming weeks to strengthen and encourage us in our faith. Recognize Jesus' power. Make Jesus prominent. Give Jesus praise. Remember where we finished last week in Colossians? Do everything in the name of Jesus. A popular song in recent years, easy to sing in good times, that speaks with bold declaration about difficult times, is Blessed Be Your Name. Do you remember, church family, one of the verses? Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. What a witness to Jesus, his beauty and majesty, when we sing like this in the midst of fears and sufferings, in our concerns for work, stresses for caring for our children, concern about our age, our underlying health issues, whilst feeling unwell, we sing, blessed be your name. And in doing that, we show the infinite worth of Jesus. We show that Christ is all, that we have been filled with him, and that in Christ we have everything. That's what we've been learning in Colossians in these past weeks, as God was preparing us as his church for these circumstances. In Jesus, we have all that we need. And remember, a theme of Colossians was thanksgiving. We witness to Jesus as we praise him in good times and in bad. And when we witness to Jesus in this way, this naturally leads us to witness to Jesus' kingdom. Witness to Jesus, witness to his kingdom. When someone trusts in Jesus, confessing him as their rightful ruler, confessing that his death on the cross was for their sin, which took God's punishment for their sin, they enter into God's kingdom. Here there is peace with God, forgiveness of sin, life made new, adoption into God's family, the hope of eternal life. As we said earlier, when the kingdom arrives in all its fullness, when Jesus returns, there will be no more sickness or sin, death or devilish power. So what should life in God's kingdom look like now? How should his followers be a powerful witness to those around us? In every time, in these times. In the first place, there should be kingdom peace. These are naturally worrying times, with people having all kinds of concerns. Financial stability, children's education, the vulnerable and needy, health concerns. It's right that we acknowledge these and listen with sympathy and understanding. But as people of Jesus' kingdom, there is a peace that we possess that rises above this pandemic of uncertainty. There is a peace in our hearts that comes from being reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus on the cross. A peace that comes from the hope of eternal life. As believers, we should desire that this peace increasingly radiates from us as a people, so that we shine like a candle in a dark room, that people might see and be struck by the peace we have, making our faith attractive to our neighbors, family members, work colleagues. We witness through kingdom peace. And next, through a kingdom perspective. Without Jesus, the result, especially in times like this, is a loss of perspective in life. By that, I mean understanding about our lives. We don't say that with arrogance or pride, but with deep humility. A kingdom perspective enables us to see where this world has come from and where it is going. We know we're created by God, that we live in a fallen world, that this world is not all there is, that there is a life to come. We know that in the context of eternity, this life is like a mist that appears for a while and then disappears. We know that how we live in this life prepares us for the life to come. That's why Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." In other words, keep your perspective. Know peace, because you know the one who is ruling and where you are going. View this life in the light of the one to come. In the face of disease, know it can only harm the body, not the soul. That enables us to see current difficulties that we're experiencing proportionately. When we think of finances, for example, Jesus tells us not to worry, but to seek first God's kingdom. And the context of those words that I just quoted from Luke 12 are powerful and challenging in times like this. Listen to that verse from Luke 12 again. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." How does Jesus continue? "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." See a neighbor in need? Know of someone struggling in employment? See a worried small business owner? Give. A kingdom perspective is the opposite of hoarding or supermarket shelf clearing. It's giving away. It's stepping into difficulty and suffering for the sake of others. Remember the perspective of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand side of God. And this kingdom perspective means we'll joyfully live as kingdom people. The people of Jesus' kingdom are utterly countercultural. Eusebius of Caesarea was an early church historian. In AD 314, he was made bishop of Caesarea. Early on in his ministry there, famine and war afflicted the city of Caesarea. So when a plague hit the region shortly after, the city was already weakened and unable to withstand the disease that afflicted it. People who were well in the city fled for their lives to the safety of the countryside. However, one group remained. The Christians. Eusebius wrote, "All day long the Christians tended to the dying and to their burial. Countless numbers they cared for. Others gathered from all parts of the city, and the Christians distributed bread to them all." Eusebius goes on to say that because of their compassion in the midst of the plague, the Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. as we comply with the government requirements on social distancing and self-isolation, let's think of Christ-glorifying ways to creatively serve those around us and assist those in need. It might be something as simple as a phone call or a text. If you haven't got that for your neighbors and friends, get your contact details to them. See if any elderly neighbors are in need of shopping. And as we care for physical needs, let's be ready to witness to Jesus and his kingdom and the hope that we have in him. Let's pray for wisdom and boldness to take up these opportunities. And that is a great place to finish. Kingdom prayer. For as in Matthew chapter 5-7, Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God. He teaches there how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's be a people of prayer at this time. Praying for those in authority, for wisdom, justice, peace, for our nation and world as we live through these testing times, prayer that this pandemic would cease, prayer for those in the medical profession serving and caring. Let's pray that we as a church will be salt and light, and that through this time of difficulty, many people will turn to God and trust in him. Dearest friends, at this time, as in every time, we urge and encourage each other to focus on Jesus and focus on his kingdom, and in so doing to witness to Jesus and to witness to his kingdom.